Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
And this is Desiree Scales with High Velocity Radio, Business Radio X. And I have my partner in crime, Sandra Bean, on as a guest. How did we pull that off this week?
I don't know. I mean, co-host, guest. I'm versatile.
Right. But we still have Kevin. Kevin is the only constant here.
I'm still here, so.
And we're all back from vacation. There's tans going on in the room. And, you know, everybody looks kind of rested. Well, you're going on vacation,
I'm
Kevin.
Going on vacation
yes.
next week.
You're the
so
only
you guys
white
are tagging
person.
Me out.
You're
tagging
white.
Me out.
You
it's
need
my
a
turn.
Tan. Yeah. But no, I'm excited because Sandra's here and he's got his new book out on Amazon and other places called The 30-Year Paycheck, Destruction and Redemption in Corporate America. The title alone is intriguing. And I've had the great honor of reading the book. And Sandra, I just see you in a whole different light now.
All right. Well, let's talk about it.
Let's
here we are,
right? Let's talk about that. What motivated you to write this book?
You know, a number of things. I mean, what I saw was that, you know, from a career perspective, I had been doing what I've been doing for a long time in sales, working in telecommunications. And every place I went, when I talked to people about the stories and things that happened to me in the office and things that seemed really grossly unfair or seemed like they didn't work out right for me, I started noticing that other people were facing the same types of challenges. So, you know, let me give you an example. Everybody wants to be promoted inside of corporate America, right? You have a job. Someday you want to be doing your boss's job.
Right.
How many people out there were saying to me, geez, you know, I got overlooked for that promotion. They brought in somebody from the outside. Why didn't they at least even interview people inside the office? And it was these types of stories that started culminating in my head, thinking like, you know what, it's time to talk about this stuff. Because I reached a tipping point, as you know, when I started my business last year, and you actually, that's when we first met. And I realized that there are ways, it doesn't have to be like that, that you don't need to be waiting for the 30-year paycheck and then just check out and put yourself on an iceberg off into the world of retirement, that there are ways to combat some of the things that work against all of us inside of corporate America. And that goes for management. It goes for individuals who individual contributor type of roles. Mm-hmm. And it even goes for executives.
Right, right. So you started Thought Horizon. And when was that?
Well, that happened. Yeah. So this all sort of happened at the same time.
Right.
You know, I think we met around the August of last year.
Yes. So and it's been about a year.
Right. And it was that point that I hit this tipping point that I said, you know what, it's time to start banging away on this thing.
Right.
And I did it. I sat down and I started writing this book, and I would be typing it like after hours. I was typing it at my son's baseball practice. Mm-hmm. I would be sitting out in the patio typing it while my wife was yelling at me, why don't you ever help with dinner anymore? And, you know, as it works out, you know, typing 74,000 words and putting them in some sort of coherent order is it's a pretty big undertaking, but not impossible. Something that it just with a little bit of work, and if you have the vision, that it's possible for anybody to tell their story.
Yeah.
And I felt my story was worth telling, and voila, here it is.
Well, and I'm going to ask you, is there such thing as a 30-year paycheck anymore? Because you see people bouncing from, you know, position to position, corporation to corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people do end up bouncing around, but I also believe that that it seems like that more and more there are people who end up inside of corporate structures and have no way of getting out of them.
Okay.
So especially inside middle management rank, I think a lot of people get stuck inside of that tube, inside of that bubble,
mm-hmm.
and they have a difficulty breaking away from it.
Right.
And, you know, I saw a lot of this at the company I worked for, which was AT&T,
mm-hmm.
and I just saw a lot of people in the middle management state that really were unhappy and unable to find the next step in their career. And I want to be careful to say that this isn't something about AT&T. This is something about, I think, any large company, that there's an enormous number of people who get caught by the gravitational force of it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. A lot of people end up moving around these days from company to company. But I think there's still a huge population of people who feel trapped and sucked in by the gravity and the, you know, where they're at with the company they've been working for a long, long time.
And that's because of one word. They're comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfort and it's also fear.
Yeah,
so these two
exactly.
things kind of work together. You end up earning a set amount of money. You know how much you have. You go on that nice cushy vacation.
Right.
You know how much you're putting away for your 401k. Everything seems set out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that your day-to-day can often look so soul-crushing that you end up becoming a shadow of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You end up doing things just to exist inside the job. And this is what these are some of the things I talk about inside the book from in a narrative type of way, that people end up trying to emulate what their boss wants them to be,
right,
as opposed to living out who they are. And this has a very negative effect on how you live your day-to-day. Certainly, you may be checking all the boxes as far as saving for your kids' 401k for their education.
Right.
And you might be
saving for retirement.
Right, saving adequately for retirement.
Exactly.
You have that two-week vacation wherever you want to go every mm-hmm. year. But the problem is the other 50 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I saw that. I was at Delta Airlines. I saw exactly what you were talking about. And, you know, and it, until you kind of break out of that environment, you're isolated. It's like, does a drop of water in the ocean know it's in the ocean, you know, kind of thing?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I get it. But what you did was you found ways to be entrepreneurial within the corporation.
Right.
Like when you decided that you wanted to head over and go after the European business.
Right.
Talk about that.
Right. So, you know, I was working on an account, and at the time, the company I was working for was having a lot of difficulties. They were in financial, they were strapped financially. But we had just made a huge purchase of another company that was going to help us greatly internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been working internationally in the past, and so I was working with this company in the U.S. that had an international presence, and talking to the guys there, and they're like, well, you know, we'd like to, you know, consider you for the international business, but that's really going to be decided by, you know, Sven, who's over in Belgium.
Right.
And so, you know, having worked overseas, I said to myself, man, it makes sense because our company has just, you know, collected this new asset overseas, that we should try to really go after this business and not just listen to what the U.S. decision maker had to say.
Right.
And so, you know, through a number of kind of tactical maneuvers, I was able to get somebody assigned, a good person assigned to the account overseas, who I worked with closely, ended up going over there, him coming over here,
mm-hmm.
kind of collaborating with one another, and we closed this deal. A great part of the story was we were literally so out of money that the company was so out of money that we didn't have travel budget whatsoever.
I know.
Yeah.
I loved it. And you had to really lay out the facts as to the pros and cons of, you know, if we go after this, here's what happens. If we don't, this is what we lose.
Right.
So you presented such a great argument. How could they say no?
Well, you know, a lot of people could have said no. And you know, this goes to the fact that there are a lot of great people out there in corporate America as
mm-hmm.
well. My boss at the time, he believed in it.
He did.
He told me, he said, don't bother coming home if you don't close this business.
That's right.
But he allowed me to go over and there, not only go over there, but also to bring with me a sales engineer. And he said, you know, how important is this? You know, one ranger, one riot. You hear that a lot in corporate
right.
America. We don't, you know, that you think more about budget than you do about what it's going to take to win.
Right.
And I convinced him that we need to do that. So that was an example of sort of living out who I was from a personality perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And what came, and I think this is important, and this is important to anybody, regardless of what your strengths are and what type of personality you have.
Mm-hmm.
When you play to who you are, you succeed.
Right.
Because the book is not totally about successes. The book goes through many years of trying to emulate other people in
mm-hmm.
order to wait around for a promotion that never comes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you read all those books, you know, in one year, and you were thinking about putting all the books that you read during lunch or during your breaks when you didn't have anything going on,
yeah.
when you weren't playing solitaire.
That's right. Well, sadly, I think that, you know, this happens in corporate America, is that people, that a lot of, there is a lot of time on people's hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is time that I would urge anyone who's in a corporate job who feels like, you know, I'm not busy enough.
Yeah.
Or why don't they give me the opportunity to do this?
Mm-hmm.
That people should grab that chance to do what it is that they're good at, to reach out, to try something new, mm-hmm. to express themselves inside of their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the book, and Desiree's, she's alluding to a part in my life that I'm not necessarily proud of.
You knew I had to bring it up. You knew, yeah, I would.
I hope my mom's not listening. Where, you know, I decided to read the great books that I had squandered my education not reading while I was in college. And so, you know, I ended up reading Moby Dick right. in the break room, yeah. you know, at like 4 hours at a time during the middle of the day.
Wow.
And you know, my boss just thought, well, he's in a meeting, or right. he's on a sales call.
Right.
But there I was reading Moby Dick. And then I took on Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, which is about, I don't know, maybe it's 8,000, 9,000 pages long in several volumes. And I do want to say for the record that I did not finish that. I got
okay.
up to,
I'm glad you did that.
I got about five volumes into it though.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe that inspired you somehow, that time period where you had all this dead time. I think you were so frustrated with that it made you take the leap that you needed to take.
Eventually, when it was time to go, I think you're right. And
yeah.
I think, you know, all of this stuff, and it was another motivating factor for me to write the book, mm-hmm. is that, you know, I started reminiscing and thinking back to all of this stuff, the time that I ducked out with another salesperson and we went to the movies in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a great story.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt so terrible about that because I'm a Puritan work ethic kind of guy, uh-huh. you know? I mean, look at me, you know? It's like I'm not some like, you know, sloucher kind of person. I wanted to do what was asked of me, but just right. not enough was being asked of me. But what I realized through all of this is the person that needs to direct your career, your life, what you do is you.
Yeah.
There's no one else.
Absolutely.
And that's, you and I have had many conversations about this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So what do you want people to take away from reading this book? What's the main, you know, the main takeaway that you've experienced that you want to share?
Well, I think that, okay, so there's two main audiences that I have for the book. And again, the book goes through a narrative, right? So it kind of talks about a fictionalized version of what I've been through in
right.
the past, what, 25 years or so
mm-hmm.
In a career, starting from when I got out of college to basically when I left and decided to start my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two audiences. The first audience is other people. You know, there was a recent study that was out there that I think it was, you know, greater than 50% of the people who work in what is deemed corporate America mm-hmm. hate their job.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like they dislike it or, you know, they'd rather not do it. It's like they use the capital H hate to describe how they feel about the job that they go to each day.
Yeah.
And if you look at how many windows there are in downtown Atlanta, you know, much less any city, and you start doing the calculations, how many people must hate what they do?
Right.
It's absurdly high.
Yeah.
So this book is, I hope, you know, would act as a way to kind of give these people a bellwether, a way to sort of set a compass course to move out of a position of hating what they do
mm-hmm.
and move into a position of loving what they do because it's being directed by their own heart.
Yeah.
The second audience for this book, and I'll make no bones about it, this is something I'm consulting on these days,
mm-hmm.
is talking about organizational change. And so speaking to people either at the CEO level or executive management level
yeah.
about how to create situations, how to create office spaces, how to create environments that are against, that will avoid the 30-year paycheck kind of people.
Yeah, so make sure that the break room is in really clear, you know, visual of the CEO. Is that right?
Well, see, I think that, yeah, but the point is if you're challenging the people that are working there and you're
yeah.
giving them the ability to direct what it is they do,
mm-hmm.
meaning, okay, how is their career going to go? They want to work in sales. Do they want to then work in marketing?
Yeah.
Is it time to move that person on? Has somebody's gotten too comfortable in a management position where they're just doing it like, you know, a bird collects worms, you know, and they're
right.
not thinking about it.
It's
they're
on
just,
automatic pilot.
It's on automatic pilot.
Yeah.
It's time to shake things up.
Right.
As much as we all want consistent results and we want to avoid risk,
right.
the biggest risk we can take is allowing the infrastructure to fall out from underneath us, because that could give a crushing blow not only to someone's career but to a corporation.
Yeah, exactly.
And too many times, you know, people think, okay, well, I'm going to be in this job for a couple of years, and so, you know, don't rock the boat, don't look underneath too many rocks to find, you know, where the problems are. Just
yeah.
sort of keep the course steady.
Well, and you know, I'm going to kind of go into a different direction
yeah.
too, because I know you've had this experience What about those that are hanging on and they know their job's in danger? They know that, you know, the layoffs are coming. What do you tell those people?
Well, you know, I think at that, I talk about this at the very beginning of the book. At that point, it's probably too late to correct that situation.
Okay.
But I think it's a worthwhile when that's going on to sit down and to think back on how you got there. When would have been the time to make a change?
Yeah.
What would have been the right timing to do something different?
Mm-hmm.
Because that will direct you. And you need to just remember that from a compass course perspective.
Yeah.
So when you get into the next situation, whether it's in a corporation, whether it's on your own, whatever it is you decide to do next, that you're calling the shots.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to somebody recently. He had been working as an entrepreneur. Things went bad between him and his partner. And he recently took a job at a Fortune 50 company.
Mm-hmm.
So he's back there now. And I'll say he's working for HP.
Okay.
But when he went back, he went on his own terms. So he took that job knowing I'm here in order to help me get from point A to point B.
Right.
He didn't go back there like he was running for a harbor to be safe in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that person who's about to get laid off, really try to remember what it feels like to be in that position.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That will guide you
mm-hmm.
as to what you do next
mm-hmm.
and how not to put yourself in a position of, well, I'm comfortable, I'm safe here.
Right.
Because nobody's comfortable. Nobody's safe. No one is
right.
truly safe. Even if you're feeling comfortable today, you won't tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the point of your life is to live it. I mean, it's not all about comfort. I mean, comfort's nice. We want comfort for our family. We want lack of risk.
Right.
But in the end, you know, life is about living, and living is about experiences, and living is about doing.
So what are you living now?
Well, first of all, I want to be sure I say that my book is not about, hey, corporate America, quit your job and
right.
go do what I did.
Right. Exactly.
And I make that very clear in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happened that I got to a point where I had something to say. The company that I was working for was not interested in promoting that internally,
mm-hmm.
and so we parted ways, and now I'm just saying that, doing what I wanted to do on my own.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Well, now you said people need to live. They
yes.
need to start living, and so now you're living your dream of being an entrepreneur, correct?
Right.
It's not for everybody.
No.
Because I also believe that part of your message in the book is to be an entrepreneur within a corporation.
That's true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And be innovative and don't let the rules, you know, the set rules stop you from thinking outside of the box, which is what entrepreneurs tend to do.
Yes.
But what you're doing now, is it what you, you know, have dreamt of? How are you feeling about being an entrepreneur?
Well, yeah.
It's different than being in corporate.
It is totally different. And there are days that I hate it. And there are days
That's
I wish
great.
I would open my mailbox and see my every other week check.
Yeah. Right.
But again, the 30-year paycheck for me is kind of a writ large compass that and allows me to remember which direction I'm going.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to a time in my life. That taught me a lot of lessons.
Right.
So, you know, how do I feel about it? I feel fantastic because for me, it was the right choice
right.
and it was the right time for that choice.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I'm not a young person. I've decided to become an entrepreneur at 45 plus, which is not when most people decide they're going to, you know, start taking big risks in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was kind of built for this from the start and, I'm just living into who I am a little bit. But that doesn't mean, again, going back to what you were saying before, I believe that really what we're called to do is not necessarily all become entrepreneurs and
mm-hmm.
start tinkering around in the garage,
right.
you know, and creating products and stuff. I think what we're all called to do is be who we are and mm-hmm. be all of it every day as
right.
much as possible. And that means speaking up. That means telling people what you think.
Right.
That means saying, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
So if someone's asking you, like, you know what, we think you ought to be the next, work in the accounting department, be able to say, you know what, I'm going to fail at that and just be able to tell somebody that. And
yeah.
if they say, well, you know, that's the only job we have for you, then say, fine, I think it's time for me to find something else because this is your life. I mean,
right.
You're here for a finite period of time.
Right.
And the sooner you get after what it is that you're here to do, mm-hmm. whether that's inside a corporation or as an entrepreneur,
yeah.
the happier you're going to be.
Absolutely.
The more fulfilling life you're going to live.
And that's it right there. That's it.
Yeah.
So where do we find the book?
Well, you can find the book on Amazon by typing in the 30-year paycheck or my name, Sander Bean, as you can see on the website. I'm also going to be doing a book reading at Tall Tales Books in Toco Hills on the 19th of August. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have anybody and everybody from Atlanta come and help support me. I'll be reading a bit out of the book and we'll be serving refreshments and just having a chat.
Cool.
I'm going to also be speaking at the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals in the fall and the Telecom Expense Management Professionals in Las Vegas in early September. So if you're at either of those shows, please come and check out my talk.
And we can find you online. And I know this because I helped build the site, www.thought-horizon.com.
That's right.
So very good. Well, it was great to have you on the show today. Thanks for spending time with me.
Thank you, Desiree.
We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Okay.